couple of weeks ago, Sebastian Soey ran the London Marathon in a time that was thought humanly impossible. He did it in just the 26 miles, in just under 2 hours, reaching speeds of over 30 miles an hour. People said it couldn't be done, and some have said it's a miracle. Now, it's a shame that the London Marathon is run on a Sunday, but there it is. But he did it. He performed what was thought to be impossible, and people claimed it as a kind of miracle. Well, tonight we're going to look at three miracles of Jesus. And the first one we read was in Luke's Gospel, of course, and it was the stilling of the storm. The stilling of the storm. The disciples got into a boat, and Jesus was in the boat, and they said, let's cross over to the other side of the lake, and as they went out, but as they sailed, we noticed Jesus fell asleep. Well, that first of all shows the humanity of Jesus. Yes, Jesus is the divine Son of God, but he was also human, and so that shows the human side of Jesus. He fell asleep. Perhaps he felt a little bit tired, I don't know. And as we get older, perhaps sometimes we might need that odd little bit of extra sleep, maybe a bit of a nap after lunch or something like that. I sometimes do that, no chance today, but sometimes I do. I have a little nap after lunch, a little sleep. So Jesus fell asleep, and then this storm came down, a windstorm, and the lake, of course, became rough. And they said, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and there was a calm. There was a calm. Now, we all need sleep, don't we? And the Bible has one or two things to say about sleep. For instance, in Psalm 4 and verse 8. Let's just turn to that for a moment. Psalm 4 and verse 8. We read this. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Do you sleep well at night? Do you sleep peacefully at night? Because are you dwelling in the Lord at night? For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I will lie down in peace and sleep. Many people are troubled today. Many people have insomnia. They can't sleep because they're worried about this, that and everything else. They're stressed out and so on. But if we are Christians and we're trusting in the Lord Jesus and putting our faith in him, we can know deep abiding peace. The Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God because our sins have been dealt with at the cross of Calvary. We can lie down in peace and we can sleep. Then in Psalm 127 and verse 2, we read this. Psalm 127 and verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. So the Bible is saying, well, sometimes don't get up too early, perhaps you need to sleep in a bit longer, or don't stay up too late, perhaps you need to get to bed a bit earlier, so you're not up too late and missing your sleep. He gives his beloved sleep. Well, Jesus was asleep there in that storm. And he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. We may go through troublesome times. We may go through testing times. And that's when we need God's peace in our hearts. Jesus caused peace to come in a tumultuous situation. So as we go through the troubles of life, and we will do, because we're Christians, we're still going to go through problems and troubles in life, especially perhaps as we get older, we must put our trust in Him and let Him give us His peace. And so Jesus performed this wonderful miracle of calming the storm. Then we meet something quite incredible here. He sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, and there they met a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. Now this man, well, there is a doctrine called the doctrine of total depravity. Well, I guess this man filled that doctrine absolutely, the doctrine of total depravity. He was totally depraved, this man. He wore no clothes. He didn't live in a house. He lived in the tombs. He identified with death. And the amazing thing is that the demons within him knew who Jesus was. The demons said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." Now this man was absolutely at rock bottom. He couldn't have got much worse, could he? There he was, this poor man, being tormented. Now, there's a lot of mental illness about. We are told today, mainly perhaps partly due to the COVID pandemic and so on, there's more and more mental illness today, even amongst young people today. That is a very serious matter. Now, not all, please, mental illness is not always all people filled with demons. It's not like that at all. But mental illness is a very serious problem in our country today. Many people have to be treated for it for various reasons. And we hear awful things on the news, don't we, of murders and that have been taking place with people who are mentally ill and so on. But the wonderful thing was that Jesus dealt with this man. He dealt with the evil in him. He dealt with the demons in him, and he cast them out. And this man was totally transformed. And I want you to notice that this man, who was a complete and utter down and out, completely and utterly at rock bottom, became an evangelist. See what happened at the end of the story about this poor man. Let's read what right at the end. Jesus said, right, here we are. Let's see what happened there. And Jesus said to him in verse 39 of chapter 8, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." The man wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to go around with Jesus, but Jesus said no. He said, "You go home, go to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And then we read this. He went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Isn't that amazing? Here was this man at rock bottom, mentally ill, full of demons, and becomes an evangelist, telling the whole city what great things God had done for him. We read that this man was chained up, but he broke his chains. So much was the power of evil in him. He broke the chains. He was under guard, we read. He was bound with chains and shackles. He broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. And Jesus dealt with the evil and the sin in this man, who was totally transformed. Now the gospel of Jesus is still changing people today. Not all are as bad as this poor guy, no, but God and the gospel is changing lives today. People are being restored. People are being born again of the Spirit. What a wonderful and tremendous blessing this is, for this poor man who became an evangelist after being absolutely a complete down and out. So the gospel changes lives today. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. All has become new. And then we move to the very familiar feeding of the 5,000 people. So here are all these people. The apostles Jesus took the disciples aside into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes saw or knew that Jesus was there, they followed him, and there were so many there, and the day was getting on, it was getting towards evening, no doubt, and the 12 disciples came and said in verse 12, "Send the multitude away, that we may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions. We are in a deserted place here." And then Jesus says something quite incredible. There they were saying, "Whoa, what are we going to do with all this lot, all these people? What can we do? Just send them away, Jesus, and then let us go and buy provisions for them." But no, Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." Well, what a challenge. "You give them something to eat." And they said, "Well, we've only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How can we feed all those people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? For we are told there were 5,000 men. And so Jesus says to his disciples, and this is very interesting, he says this, "Make them sit down in groups of 50. Our God is a God of order." And he saw the potential for chaos here, feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But he said, "Sit them down in groups of 50. So there was order here. And they did so and made them all sit down. And then Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke the bread and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. Now, what the other amazing thing is this. They all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of leftover fragments were taken up by them. There were 12 disciples. There were 12 fragments left over. One basket full of fragments for each disciple. Isn't that incredible? An amazing story that is. And what does it teach us? Not only that our God is a God of order, and as we look into the world, as we look into creation, as we study the laws of physics and gravity and so on, our God is a God of order. If everything was chaotic, well, life would not be possible. But our God is a God of order. It's as simple as that. Everything is ordered by him. He created everything, and it is just right. And I may have said this before to you here. You take, for example, gravity. Gravity, which, of course, Sir Isaac Newton investigated. And that is something that is just right. And if gravity was any more than it is, it would, instead of taking me an hour and a quarter to get here, it would probably take me 4 hours. My car wouldn't go very fast at all if there was even more gravity. If there was less gravity, then we'd all be floating about like you see them on the moon. You know, everything would be floating around because there would be no gravity, or less gravity. Life would be impossible. Our God is a God of order. And also he's a God of providence. A God of providence. Here are 5,000 men, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and yet they're all fed, and there are 12 basketfuls of bits and pieces left over. Isn't that amazing? Our God is a God of providence. Do you see God's providence in your lives, your life in various ways? I've seen God's providence in my life in many respects. And I remember I was a late person to learn to drive, And I worked for 15 years at a boarding school near Horsham. It was a special boarding school for London children. I was there for 15 years. And they wanted me to drive the school minibus. And so I needed lessons. And lessons were very expensive in those days, and they were also quite hard to get. Even those days, to get a driving test was even difficult in those days. And they sent me for driving lessons, all paid for by the Inner London Education Authority. That doesn't exist now, but it did. It was all paid for by them. All my driving lessons were paid for, and my driving test was paid for. The first one I failed, so they put me in for a second one. It's all paid for in the providence of God. And that enabled me to drive the school minibus. It enabled me to get my own car. And I wouldn't be preaching here today if it wasn't for the fact that I'd learned to drive all those years ago. I see the providence of God. And perhaps you see the providence of God in your life. He provides for you. He doesn't provide what we want, but he provides what we need. The Bible says, "My God shall supply all your need through his riches in Christ Jesus." So whatever your needs are, he will provide for you in his providence. Now there's general providence that God gives to believers and unbelievers. General providence is the air that we breathe, the sunshine that we enjoy, the rain that we get. That's all part of what we call the general providence of God to all mankind. But then, of course, there is his special providence to us as believers in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die upon the cross and rise again from the dead and gloriously ascend to heaven. And he has sent, as we saw last week, his Holy Spirit to indwell each one of us and to be with his people, to be with his church. So we see God's providence in so many ways. So here we have three miracles of Jesus. Calming a storm. He will bring peace to your life if you're going through a stormy time. He can change people's lives, and the gospel still changes people's lives today in a wonderful way. I remember there was a guy years ago called Fred Lemon. I don't know if any of you remember him. He was a London gangster, and he was involved in bank robberies and all sorts of stuff like that. He became a Christian. He became a changed man. And he would go around talking to young people, so they'd say, "Don't get involved in crime. It doesn't pay. It's not worth it. You need to turn to Jesus." Jesus changed that man's life from being a career criminal into being an evangelist for our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And then we see in this final story, the feeding of the 5,000, the wonderful providence of God in our lives and in the lives of all those people who were there. Let's pray for a moment.